On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thanks for coming by. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Tuesday. I know it feels like Monday, but it's Tuesday. Yay! What is it? The 8th of September already, 2020. My name is Tom Sullivan. Glad you could come along. So, talking about Florida and the fact that it is, it's a toss-up. It's a dead even in Florida for Trump and Biden. So, I don't know. It's going to be, it always narrows. But, I mean, this is supposedly the kickoff day for the day after Labor Day. And now the presidential campaign really picks up steam. And good news for those of you in Mississippi, because you now have on your presidential ballot Kanye West. Yes, he has made the presidential ballot in Mississippi. I'm not sure if he is on anybody else's. Let's see. Yes, he has already qualified in Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Utah. To qualify in Mississippi, he was required to pay a $2,500 fee to the Secretary of State's office and get the signatures of at least 1,000 Mississippi voters. So he did it, and the Secretary of State there, a guy by the name of Michael Watson, said he did qualify. So he wants back President Trump. I don't know if you think Kanye West is going to be in a state as tight as Florida. He's not on Florida's ballot yet. Don't know if he's trying. But it really makes you wonder whether or not he could be the deciding factor. If he takes a percent or a percent and a half, people vote for him because they don't want to vote for Trump or they don't want to vote for Biden. So they, I'll vote for Kanye West. And it'd be a throwaway, but it would be enough to maybe make a difference in some states. I mean, it's not, he's not going to be, you know, getting 10, 12, 13%. Well, I should not predict. Who knows what people will vote for in November. So anyway, he's on the Mississippi ballot. And Politico was writing about it today, and they also talk about Florida being so tight. And in their comments about Florida, it's interesting because the president was just down in Jupiter earlier today, and he signed some agreement to extend a moratorium on offshore oil drilling, which apparently is a big deal for the people of Florida. So that, you know, he's doing things to obviously win their votes. That's what you do. That's what we're all about. That's what they're all about. The problem with polling for Trump is it's notoriously hard for pollsters to get a good read on the support of Donald Trump, because a lot of the people that are Trumpsters don't want to tell a pollster. They want to keep it a secret. And so they are, if you will, secret voters for the president. That's what happened in 16. And I don't think a lot of those people have changed. I think they're still looking at it and going, yeah, I'm not going to tell some pollster I'm voting for Donald Trump. They don't wear MAGA stuff. In the bigger cities, maybe out in the country they do. So they have a tough time trying to figure out what kind of support Donald Trump has. So what do they, with all these political books coming out, the one that is now coming out, is it today? I think it's today. And NBC, Lester Holt, has an exclusive interview with Michael Cohen. And so I grabbed some of it under fair use. But I have to ask you, is anybody going to buy Michael Cohen's book? I think we know Michael Cohen was a sleazebag that was working for Donald Trump, which is not, I know, it makes Donald Trump look a little shady. Why would you hire somebody like Michael Cohen and have him do the things that you want him to do? But Cohen is all, he's in charge of himself. And he did things that were not good. And he treated people terribly. And I remember the way he would deal with interviews. The very few that he gave, he was snotty, sarcastic. He was not a nice man. But this is Lester Holt about his interview with Michael Cohen. And I, for the life of me, don't think Michael Cohen has one baby fingernail of credibility. But here's what Cohen has to say.
I described Mr. Trump as a cult leader. And I was in this cult. And I, while I was in the cult, I was really refusing to acknowledge that the actions that I was performing for my boss were morally wrong.
In his memoir, Disloyal, Michael Cohen says he wants others to see the Donald Trump he knew.
You call Trump a racist. Were you witness to any moments that you thought he was exhibiting racism or used a racial slur?
Yeah, unfortunately, all too many times. We had one where right after Nelson Mandela had passed away, and I talk about this in the book, he asked me if I had known of any country that's run by a black that's not an S-hole. And I said, well, how about America? To which he gave me the proverbial FU.
Among the charges he pled guilty to were federal campaign finance violations, in part for buying the silence of adult performer Stormy Daniels, he says, to protect Donald Trump. He also says he was expected to deny Mr. Trump's alleged affairs to Melania Trump.
And I would lie to her, and I would lie to her at the sort of at the request of and at the for the benefit of, you know, Mr. Trump, my boss. And I knew what he wanted me to say.
You would
say,
tell her nothing happened?
And I would tell her nothing happened, and the whole story is not accurate, and I have a document from the individual stating that it didn't happen. But the one thing I can tell you about our First Lady, Melania Trump, is that she knew I was lying the whole time, but she had enough class not to call me out on it.
The White House has blasted Cohen's book as fan fiction, saying Cohen readily admits to lying routinely, but expects people to believe him now so that he can make money from book sales. It's unfortunate that the media is exploiting this sad and desperate man to attack President Trump.
Yes, yeah, so I have made my mistakes, and I have owned them publicly, and I cannot make anybody believe me.
Cohen believes some of Mr. Trump's behavior could one day land him in prison.
Have you seen Donald Trump's tax returns?
Only from afar, laid out on a table in the conference room.
Manhattan's district attorney is currently before a federal appeals court trying to get President Trump's tax returns as it examines, among other things, whether bank or tax fraud occurred.
Instead, he would have CFO Alan Weisselberg and me concoct the highest possible number, inflating the valuation of the buildings and golf courses by using the absolute most optimistic comparable properties.
One of the reasons that we were doing it is because Mr. Trump wanted to be higher in the Forbes 500 list. And the way to do it, he would just come up with a number. He'd say, I'm worth $8 billion. I'm worth $10 billion. And our job was then to take the assets and to figure how you're going to back that $10 billion number that he wants to be.
New York federal prosecutors acknowledge Cohen did provide information to law enforcement, including the special counsel's office, but also noted that Cohen's description of those efforts is overstated in some respects and incomplete in others.
So does that diminish your credibility, the fact that even prosecutors weren't sure they got the full thing?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that it diminishes anything, considering I believe about 18 investigations were opened based upon the information that I provided, including the need for his tax returns.
Cohen knows readers will question the validity of many of his claims, but he wants us to believe this.
So Donald Trump will do anything and everything within which to win. And I believe that includes manipulating the ballots. I believe that he would even go so far as to start a war in order to prevent himself from being removed from office.
Cohen refuses to say whether he is a witness in any current investigation, or maybe it's more accurate to say he says he's not allowed to say that. And he insists he pled guilty only because he says prosecutors were threatening to indict his wife.
There it is. That's as good as they can go. That's as good as Michael Cohen can do. And I listen to him. I find him despicable. I think he's just, something's wrong in that guy's head. It's deep. And, you know, the old, was he lying then or is he lying now? I think he was lying then. I think he's lying now. I think he's just a liar. But even if everything he says, which I mean, forgive me, why Donald Trump is trying to do anything and everything he can to win. Well, I hope he is. Isn't that what most people do? I mean, you stay within the guardrails of the law, but I mean, you do everything you possibly can to win. That was not shocking. But is there anything that he said that isn't something that we already know about Donald J. Trump? And it reminds me of the Access Hollywood tapes. That was it. He's done. That's it. He's over. Going after John McCain. That's it. He's over. I mean, we can go down the list of all the things that are shocking or abrasive about Donald Trump. And yet he still won the election in 2016. I don't hear anything from Cohen that is new. And I don't hear things. I mean, when he said that he would do anything to win, I'm going, really, that's supposed to be shocking. So are there any surprises? What's your take on this? This is, we got the mini stroke story early last week. We got the bashing the military. What was that, Thursday night or Friday? And now they roll out Michael Cohen. And like I said, this is the unofficial race now for the last, coming around the bend for the election. Stand by for more of this. What do you make of Michael Cohen?
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So, Michael Cohen, they rolled out today, and NBC had the big exclusive interview, and I thought, I didn't get anything out of that I haven't already heard, seen, or thought of. But, Donald Trump is, he's a tough guy, and I don't think there was anything there that anybody's going to go, I had no idea. 855-295-6600. Mark in Louisville. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I mean, the thing that comes off to me is that if there's any year that we need a secure election, this is it. I mean, think about, he's basically saying he's going to start a war. You've got people saying we're going to have to bring in the Delta Force to get him out of office if he doesn't win. I mean,
yeah, right.
There is zero confidence in anything going on right now. And I mean, just today it kind of hit me that, you know, we're looking at an inevitable disaster that's going to happen with regard to the confidence in the results. And that's from either side. No matter who wins.
That's why if it's not a blowout, and I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it looks like the race is pretty tight. So, yes.
Well, I mean, even if it's a blowout, nobody's going to believe it. And why, and you know people there, Tom. Ask me why nobody has proposed that we can send all the ballots to houses we want. Just print them off the internet. Who cares? But just turn it in person. Fill it out at home. Walk up to your polling precinct and hand it to somebody. They can make sure it's signed. There's no COVID risk because you're literally just walking up and handing it to somebody and walking away. Why?
Well,
you're going to have the ballot secured. Why has that not been proposed, Tom?
I don't think it has to be for this reason. I've had the exact same thoughts as you. And as a result, I have, and maybe I'm going to be wrong on this, but I think most people are going to think like you and me, and they're going to go, I'm just going to go over there and drop this. I'm going to bring it to them in person. I'm either going to vote in person or I'm going to bring this ballot that they mailed to me. I'm going to go bring it in person. The president even, and I don't like this. I think he's doing the culture war stuff, which he's good at. But he's also sowing all kinds of lack of faith in our voting system when he says, now, you get the ballot they mailed you, and then you fill it out, you mail it. Then you go and you find out if it's been tabulated, and if you can't find if it's been tabulated, then go and vote. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Just go and vote. Skip the first step. Just go and vote. And I think people will. I really do.
But if you don't mandate it, you have three options. You can sit down and fill out the ballot there and stand in line and wait for somebody to go through all the garbage and fill out their ballot. Or you can fill it out at home and drop it off. Or you can, request a absentee ballot. Now, if you have those three options, we now have a way of tracking all of the votes, right? There's a record of you requesting an absentee ballot. Instead, we're going to insert all of these untraceable ballots that may or may not be cast, and we have no freaking idea whether they were received or anything. And why are we doing that, Tom? I feel like Buford's sitting there watching, envisioning Pickett's charge from the reverse. I feel like Sam Elliott going, oh, no, this is what's going to happen in the morning. But why do we not just say, look, you have a choice, absentee ballot, drop it off in person, or do it the traditional way? And that way
it's worked for 200 years. I don't understand why. Through the pandemic of 1918, through World War I, through World War II, it doesn't matter. We have voted in person reliably for 200 plus years. I'm bothered by it too. I think the headache will be, I can see what the stories are going to be on the morning after. Election offices are backlogged. They don't know how long it will take them to count the ballots. And then a couple days later, a mail truck full of ballots was just discovered over here on Main Street. Yeah, I'm worried about it too, Mark. I'm right there with you. Appreciate the call as always. Phone number is 855-295-6600.
Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
I was thinking that during the break, there's a handful of states that have been doing mail-in ballots exclusively for a long, long time. They'll be fine. They got the system down. Oregon, Washington, there's a handful of them. They'll be fine. But for the other states out there, other, I don't know, 40-some states that have never done this before, I am worried. And I hope people just put on a jacket and go down to the vote, wherever you vote, and vote. 56 days, folks. 56 days. Steve in California, thank you for waiting. Steve, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Short timer. Getting short. Yep. So we were talking about how they're bashing Trump, coming up all kinds of weird things that he's done, despicable things.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of when Kavanaugh was running and they kept having all these ladies coming out of the woodwork. And they already done the ladies' things with them, so they have to come up with other ideas.
They remember they found that every couple of days they would find another one. And then all of a sudden they would go, oh, I guess this one. And they weren't, they were full.
The stories expanded exponentially.
Full of credibility. Credibility problems at the yin-yang as they grew. Yes.
It got funny. It was really funny.
Well, I mean, was there anything that Michael Cohen said that you went, I had no idea? I mean, there isn't anything.
Said, but I heard before, just the same old skeleton, the same stuff. Yep.
And he tried to inflate the value of his assets so that he would rank higher on the Forbes 400. And I go, yeah, I've heard that long before he even was president. I mean, he was trying to do that. I mean, he's done weird stuff. I mean, he pretended he was a PR guy named Mr. Barron, and he would call New York media and say how wonderful Donald Trump was doing something. I mean, it's him. Who else would come out and say, you know, I'm rich. I'm really rich. You know that, don't you? I mean, I'm really rich. Nobody says that stuff. So we know this about him. The question is, are people, they took a chance on him in 2016. Are they going to re-up or are they going to say, took a chance, I'm going to go another way? That's the big question. Yeah. I don't think there's anything about Donald Trump that you can tell me that we don't already know. I don't think so.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that. I'd say that's agreeable. And so the question is, do you believe what he's I personally think that he's done a very, very good job considering the circumstances. And in fact, my wife thinks he's crazy. She says, if I went to, I'd tell him that you take the job and shove it. I wouldn't put up with that crap. She'd say, why does he do that? Why didn't he just quit? You know, I say, gee, I think he honestly cares.
I wonder, too, because, I mean, he had a perfectly good life. He was worth something more than a lot of people. He had a lot of money, but I don't know if it was what he claimed. I don't care. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of influence. He had his fame. He had his fortune. Why did he want to be president? I don't know why anybody would want to be, quite bluntly. I really don't. I think it's... You're just setting yourself up for everybody and their brother's going to hate you. But I don't know. I we'll see if people are going to have to make a choice about, well, I took a chance on them. Some people took a chance. Some people were solid. But the people that took a chance on them are going to have to revisit that chance and say, do I want to keep them on for another four?
Well, when he first got in there, when he had a Republican assembly, legislature, I think they could have done a lot more, but the same reason that people elected him, he wasn't a politician, was the same thing that strung him up when he first started, because he didn't have that network of old cronies he'd hung out with and had favors from and gave favors to, like all the other politicians. So finding people to fill his, be around him, he didn't really have that luxury or the ability of finding good people. And
My gripe about it was, who was it that tripped him up? The Republicans were in charge of the House and the Senate. Who was it that tripped him up? It was the Freedom Caucus in the House. Now, you may agree with them, you may disagree with them, but the facts remain. They're the ones who kept saying no to things that he wanted to get done. So that's why, Steve, people call me and they say, oh, you don't sound as conservative as you used to, you know. And I go, I am. I haven't changed. I'm disgusted with a lot of the Republicans. I used to belong to that party years ago, but they have fouled up their own path so badly, Donald Trump could have done much, much more if it wasn't for Congress fouling him up. Now he's got a real problem because he's got the House controlled by Nancy Pelosi. But back in the first 2 years, he had that thing. He could get done anything he wanted to get done. And I'll tell you this much. If Joe Biden wins, and there is a decent chance that the Senate will go Democrat, then you've got a Democrat president, Democrat House, Democrat Senate. And if they are not stupid, they will get through every Democrat agenda that they've ever wanted to get through. So that's what I think about. Yeah, California, you guys are, you haven't seen a Republican out there for, it's like a Bigfoot sighting. People say there's a Republican around, but they haven't seen one. Been a long time, let me put it that way. All right, hey, Steve, thank you. Appreciate the call. I got a story that, I don't know, we'll get to it maybe tomorrow, but I really don't know what bothers me, I guess, about the Republican Party is that they shot themselves in the foot. And yeah, I do think it was the Freedom Caucus. And they, I know a lot of you think highly of Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, but they're the guys that said no. And as a result, legislation failed that they could have had that was conservative legislation. And the president said he was willing to sign it. And Mitch McConnell was willing to go along with it. But it never happened. Speaking of Mitch McConnell, he is all ready to have a vote in the Senate now that they're back from their summer vacation. Going to have a vote in the Senate to target specific things that will help. They're going to vote on targeted proposals. And when they do that, in other words, money for schools to basically prepare for the kids coming back while the kids are back, to help with the online learning, to help with the material in the school to keep the teachers and the kids separated so they don't get sick, for more bailout money for people that are unemployed. Very targeted proposals that will cost a lot less than the $3 trillion that Nancy wants to spend. And they're going to have that vote. And then what's going to happen is it will be passed by the Senate. The question is, will the House then say, no, we're not going to approve that targeted spending bill for things that they have been complaining about that they need? So Mitch McConnell, doing his usual jujitsu, is going to arrange this so that Nancy Pelosi is going to be in a corner and is going to have to figure out how to get her way out of it. 855-295-6600.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Get my email address. It's on my website, tomsullivan.com. Gail Vanderpool sends me an email. She says, why do people run for president? Hello, Tom. Look at the Clintons, Obamas. They had nothing. And they got rich quick. Yeah, you're right. Remember the Clintons? There was always Richard Nixon had the Western White House. He had somebody buy him a house out in Southern California. I know. Nobody cared in those days. It was a payoff thing. But it was amazing how the Clintons did not have a house to go to. Yeah, Christmas time, the presidents would always go to their home for Christmas and leave the White House and go home. No, the Clintons didn't have a home. They had to borrow homes. At least Obama had a house in Chicago, but he never went there. But yeah, they're doing fine now. They got a house. You see where where Barack Obama bought a house in Martha's Vineyard? Yep, that's if you are an elite rich Democrat, that's where you summer is in Martha's Vineyard. Yep, the land of the Kennedys. Yep. Noel says, why become the president? Honestly, I think he means it, that he loves the country. Paul says, Oregon voting. How do you know Oregon voting works great? Just because we don't hear anything about it doesn't mean it works. We never hear about voting irregularities in Chicago, which is notoriously corrupt. Paul, you got me. You're right. The Democrats absolutely control Oregon completely, and there's no way that if there was a problem, anybody would hear about it. This is a phone number. MMS? I don't know. I agree with the last caller. Why aren't they talking about absentee ballots? They have plenty of time to do that instead of just sending ballots to everyone. It's already baked in. I mean, it's too late to change. We're 56 days away. There's no way to change all of this. That's why I look at it and I go, I hope and pray that there is, well, even Mark in Louisville was saying, even if there's a blowout, I think that would help, where it's clear that one person won over the other. Because if it's for those of you that are old enough to remember Bush v. Gore 2000, that went on into December. But I mean, it almost came down to the deadline where the Electoral College has to vote by, I think it's December 12th. Which, by the way, I forgot to mention that my buddy Judge Napolitano, Andrew Napolitano, he went through this whole thing about if there is no Electoral College voting by December 12th, he thinks that Nancy Pelosi, somebody called me and suggested that. I said, no. He thinks that, yeah, Nancy Pelosi would become the acting president until they were able to sort out the Electoral College and how many votes each candidate got for the Electoral College. There is a procedure for a vote in Congress if there is a tie in the Electoral College. And if I remember right, don't quote me on this. I got to go look this up. I don't have time to do it right now. But I think it's literally where the House then votes for the president. The House is controlled by Democrats, so they would vote for Joe Biden. And the Senate votes for the vice president, which would be Mike Pence. Wouldn't that be weird? So, we're 2020 is already historic. It's already historic. So how more historic can we make it? I'm not sure either. There's a story, breaking news that came out of Rochester within the last hour. And the police chief there, LaRon Singletary, has earlier this afternoon has turned in his resignation. He's going to step down because of the ongoing protest. And in his statement, he said that the local community, he served it for two decades, and he said outside entities have attempted to destroy his character as the department comes under scrutiny in the wake of this guy who died in police custody, Mr. Prude. Don't know his first name. And he goes on about the mischaracterization and the politicization of the actions that I took after being informed of Mr. Prude's death is not based on facts and is not what I stand for. And I'm going, wow, has he got thin skin? If you want to be a public figure, if you want to be a police chief, you want to be any public figure, you better be prepared to take some incoming insults, dude. What is wrong with you? I still don't understand that story because maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow because the guy who died, they had the video. This happened back in March, but it was a black man with white police. And the guy who called the police on his brother who was having a mental meltdown, is all upset now because he didn't want his brother to die. But the brother was put in handcuffs. He was naked and he was out in the street. They put him in handcuffs and he was spitting at the police. So they have what's called a spit hood. I've seen a lot of media report that they put a hood over him and he died. No, it's a spit hood. So he can't spit into the face of the police. And on the autopsy, they found he was loaded up with PCP, angel dust, and he died of a heart attack. Well, when you load up on PCP called angel dust, there's a good chance your heart might just go ahead and break. So I'm looking at this whole Rochester thing and thinking, this thing doesn't fit the scenario that we have out there right now in America about evil police. It doesn't make any sense to me. All right. We got one man, comment line band. Market down sharply again today. Down 632. The Dow at 27,500. S&P down 95. NASDAQ down 465. That's what's killing the market right now, are all those tech stocks. Tesla, you name it. Gold up $4.30 to $19.38, and oil down, wow, almost $3 to $36 for one barrel of oil. On the comment line, this caller is done with his favorite sports.
I have not watched any kind of sports in 2 years now. Don't miss it. Ain't going back to it. NASCAR, NFL, NBA, none of it.
Yeah. NBA is kicking off their season on Thursday night. So, I'm sorry, NFL, did I say something? NFL, National Football League. Football starts Thursday night on the pros. And this caller, well, he tells me about his summer.
Teacher goes back for the first day of school and handed out a piece of paper to all the students and said, tell me about your summer. One young boy handed his paper. It was completely blank. She said, young man, this is completely blank. She said, yep. That's how my summer was. Unfortunately, it was that way for lots of Americans this year. Their summer of 2020 has not been good.